third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some of you are privy to a little private thing that I've got going on. And it's that I'm kind of on a diet, okay? And, you know, Lenten meals are tough because there's some good food over there sometimes, and it's not quite on my diet. And that reminded me of an episode of The Cosby Show I saw years ago. Of course, Cliff Huxtable was always being told to watch what he eats, and he was always trying to sneak food. One time he came into the kitchen, and his wife had just baked this beautiful, delicious-looking chocolate cake. Big old chocolate layer cake right there on the kitchen table, unguarded. Nobody watching over it, all kinds of frosting all over it. So Cliff thought he could probably get himself a slice of this cake and no one would have to know. What he did is he took a knife and he cut about a 1-inch sliver all the way through the center of the cake and then slid the two halves together and smoothed out the icing, and who's to know, right? Well, long story short, he got caught. He always does. He always gets caught. You know, and, you know, there's some teaching in there. There's a lesson in there. Have you ever done anything that you know is wrong? You don't think it's really going to hurt anybody, but you've done something you know you shouldn't be doing. You do it deliberately, or maybe you do it by mistake. And then you've gone to considerable lengths to cover it up. I think we've all had something like that in our life. Where we've done something like this. I remember a few years ago, and Angela, we had just moved to Salisbury, North Carolina, and I was living up there by myself. And, you know, there was plenty of really good stuff in the kitchen. People, they like to eat too, just like y'all. And they would be bringing this and that, and they'd put pastor's stuff in the refrigerator, they put pastor's stuff in the freezer, and Angela became privy to it. I wouldn't tell her. But I opened up the freezer in the kitchen one time, and inside the freezer of the kitchen was a sign, "Please don't feed the pastor." I was busted. And all of the people that were helping me cheat were busted right along with me. You know, when this happens, we wish two things. The first thing we wish is that we hadn't gotten caught. We always wish that. The second thing is, after a time and we reflect on what it is we did, we wish we hadn't done it in the first place. And so that's what our lesson is kind of looking at this morning. It's always something that's going on in our life that messes up our simple pleasures. There's always something that comes along and exposes the places where we try to cut corners or we try to keep our secret lives to ourselves. You know, maybe we're not always acting above board. Maybe we're doing something a little bit scandalous that we shouldn't be doing. Jesus speaks to this situation today. In our gospel reading, he's addressing Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came to him in the darkness of night to debate a few things that Jesus was teaching. And in that debate, Jesus lifted up the fact that he came to save the world from sin. And not only that, that the people who don't believe in him will be condemned. In fact, they're condemned already. In John 3:20, we hear the words, for all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. That lesson is spelled out clearly. It's spelled out clearly, but it bears repeating. Those who do evil don't come into the light lest their evil deeds are exposed. You know, we sinners, we're all sinners. We continue to stretch the truth a little bit. Sometimes we bend the rules. Sometimes there's rules that we don't quite understand why they're there, so we just don't bend them, we break them. We turn away so often from what is right, and we hope that somehow that everything will just turn out fine. But no matter how hard we cover our tracks, God knows what we've done. How often have we done something? How often have we tried to pull the wool over God's eyes? You know, we can't hide our behaviors from God. When we say our confession in the morning, we talk about our Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid. We can't hide our behavior. We can't make our way become the way in spite of doing things God's way. And when we're found out, our first inclination is to deny it. To deny it. Our second inclination might be to become angry with the person who exposed us in the first place. But the truth remains that after a while we have to face up to the things that we've done. We have to face the fact that we're all sinners and we all fall short of God's glory. You know, what we're saying here in kind of a lighthearted way, Jesus lifts up as something that is serious. It's a serious condition. When we get wrapped up in evil, when we lose our focus on God's will, and we try to do things according to our own will, we become slaves to sin. We become slaves to sin, and we begin to walk in that darkness that Jesus is talking about. And when we walk in the darkness, we begin to resent the light of God's truth. That's the light that exposes our hardness of heart. It exposes our misdeeds. It exposes our willingness to change and follow our Lord and Savior. Each one of us has felt this pain. Each one of us has suffered from the same condition. Each one of us is a sinner. Of that, there is no doubt. And because of sin, because of the fact that we try to live counter to God's ways, there's a sense that each and every one of us has had a hand in Jesus' arrest, his crucifixion, and his death. It was because of humans' sinful behavior that nails were driven into Jesus' hands and feet, and he was hung on a cross. As we read our gospel lesson for this week, we find out that it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't make a difference how we live our lives. It really doesn't make a difference how we follow Jesus Christ. It really doesn't make a difference of how we try. We still fall into sin. What we need to realize is that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Because God gave his only Son, we sinners, we people who try to run counter to God's ways, we are forgiven. As we confess our sins, as we turn away from sinful behavior, God forgives us our sins. We're the ones who make it difficult. We're the ones who so often choose to live sometimes the way we want to, rather than to choose to live all of the time God would have us live. Like I said, our first inclination when we're caught is to run and hide. We run and hide just like Adam and Eve did when they were caught red-handed in their lie about eating the forbidden fruit. And when we can't hide any longer, when we're found out, we begin to make excuses. Maybe we place blame on somebody else. But remember those words, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid. Why would we even attempt to hide our behavior from God? Especially when we know how He feels about His people. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn us. Jesus didn't come into the world to point His finger at us. Jesus didn't come into the world to smack our knuckles with the ruler. Jesus came into the world that we might be saved from our sin. He came into the world that as we see Him lifted up on the cross, we realize just how much God loves us and how freely He forgives us. Just a few short weeks ago, it wasn't long ago, Ash Wednesday, we all wore those ashen crosses on our forehead. Those crosses that remind us of our mortality, that remind us of our sinful selves and the wages of sin is death. They remind us that as this earthly life comes to a close, we shall return to the dust of the earth that we are made from. The Lenten journey calls us to consider our lives, calls us to consider our mortality. It calls us to consider ourselves as both saint and sinner. Imperfect, yet made perfect. Made perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ shed there on the cross. Made perfect in His death, so that as He was raised from the dead, we too might be raised. During the season of Lent, we're reminded of this, that because of sin, each one of us has had a hand in Jesus' death. We've all taken part in crucifying our Lord Jesus. Each one of us has fallen short. Each one of us, at one time or another, has chosen the darkness. Yet by the journey's end, as Lent gives way to Palm Sunday, as Palm Sunday gives way to Holy Week, as Holy Week gives way to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday, by journey's end we realize the fullness of God's love as we look at the empty tomb of Easter. We realize God's love for us, His willingness to forgive us. God still calls us to Him, even though we're sinners. He still calls us to Him through the very Jesus that we crucified, yet God raised. And He invites us into the light of His presence. You know, He invites us into the light of His presence. He welcomes us just like the father welcomes the prodigal son. The father runs down the path. He can't wait to hug his child. Throws the robe around him, gives him a ring, and kisses him wildly. God welcomes us just like that. He welcomes us with the joy and the wonder and the excitement of the woman who found the coins that she had been searching for. God welcomes us with the joy and the expectation with the good shepherd as he finds that lost sheep. If we know this is God's reaction to us, if we know this is how God feels about us, why do we grieve His heart so? Why do we make it so hard on ourselves by insisting on living in the darkness of sin? Why do we insist on making our lives all about us and less about God? How foolish can we be to think that we could somehow orchestrate a better life than our Creator? We work so hard to make our lives comfortable. We work so hard to make things easy on ourselves. We suffer so much to try and feel less pain. We avoid others and then we complain that we're not loved. We stumble and fall in the darkness of sin and often refuse to come into the light where we can find our way. Yet as children of the Heavenly Father, we're deeply loved. We can't help but remember that in the midst of this fallen and broken world, in the midst of all the darkness of our sin, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. This is the gospel in a nutshell. This is the truth of all truth. This is the word that saves. This is the light that outshines the darkness of our world. Let's give thanks for all of these things, especially on this Lenten journey. Let's give thanks for God's love, His mercy, His grace, and His forgiveness. Let's pray. We thank You, O God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, and for all the blessings to us that You bring through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the desire and the will to live in His light, that we may always live as Your precious children and experience the joy of Your salvation. And this we pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.